Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is May 13th, Friday the 13th, 2022. You know, there's a reason why Friday the 13th is noted for bad luck. And I thought it had everything to do with the Catholic Church and the Templars. But that's not necessarily so. There's a lot of different reasons why Friday 13th, because I looked them up. But it's not just that. But it is Friday 13th, and I don't think we had a bad luck day in the market. We had a good day in the market today. Finally. I'm Steve Peasley. I look forward to doing this podcast because I enjoy learning and hearing from you. Any financial questions, any investment questions you have, or any ideas you have that you want to share. I like those too. Now, I might not agree with them, but I like to get them. And I'm always careful to give you my straight unbiased answers as fair and clear and concise as possible. So, I don't have any hidden agendas. I don't want to push any one point of view or another. That's not who I am. In fact, it will be mostly your questions that drive the direction of the podcast. It always is, always has been for 22 to 23 years we've been doing this. And it's my goal to help you understand what's going on. Now, you know, in the previous podcasts, I have been suggested that we probably will have some kind of relief rally. Now, the question is today it, or will we have a follow-through? I was kind of pleased at happening, the relief rally we had today, because it's Friday. And investors and traders don't necessarily, in the negative mood they've been in, they don't necessarily want to hold on to stocks over the weekend. They usually tend to sell off on Friday in a bearish market that we are dealing with. That was pleasantly surprised. Let's see if we can follow through on Monday, though. That would be important. Okay? So, today on the podcast, we're going to operate with our same mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And that is your assurance that I'm going to offer my everything I offer is going to be as honest and accurate as possible. The market reporting, explanations of how the processes that we use and how we come about things, anything on the educational segments, and, of course, mostly it's a stock commentary that you call about. And we try to give you a quick answer. Now, try to remember, this is when we answer a question on the stocks, I and Justin are looking at very fast, quick preview of the data that is in front of us. It's not an in-depth anything. We can't do that on the radio show. Can't. But we can give you a pretty quick synopsis of what's bad and good about the stock that you're asking. Okay? So, and of course, we have no bias. We don't care one way or another on good, bad, and different. Just what are the facts? That's it. Okay? So, we're live 4 to 5, Monday through Friday. We're live right now. 888-99-CHART is our number, and you can call us right now. 888-992-4278. Let's get right to the first listener line question.
Hi, Senator Steve. I wanted to get your thoughts on ticker symbol ALB, ALB Albemarle. I think that's how you pronounce it, after their earnings. I bought some shares over a year ago, and I'm currently up about 45%. It's only a small percentage of my portfolio. but would you hold longer, trim, or exit? Thank you for your advice. Bye.
Albemarle Corp, or Albemarle Corp, makes polymer additives, catalysts, and fine chemicals for the refining, consumer electronics, and other markets. It's going to make $10.03 this year. It made $4.04 last year. Next year, it's going to make $12.16. It's a $228 stock. So right now, we're looking at a pretty expensive stock. Okay? Now, the sales is great. Numbers are good. Management is strong. Mutual funds are buying. All those things are really good. Okay? Everything's lined up. But everybody already knows all that. And that's already had a pretty big rally. If it was me, I'd probably take, I wouldn't get out, but I certainly wouldn't hesitate to take some off the table because now it's not cheap anymore. It's kind of on the expensive side. Okay, symbol ALB, everybody, ALB. My focus point today is based on this question. Do you have to put 20% down when buying a house? So all of us who've been buying houses over the years knows the answer to that, but not maybe the new buyers. Do you have to put 20% down? Is it required? Okay, other topics I want to talk about, inflation. We had some inflation news. I want to talk about the import price index. What happened to that? Now, we talked about CPI, PPI, and all that, but import price index. Why is that important? Because we import a lot of stuff. Then prices are going up or not, are they? Also, do you know how long the average bear market lasts? If we are in a bear market, that's if because the S&P bounced today and it looks like this week they're on their way to be 20% down from their high, but they only got to about 17% and bounced today. But if we are in a bear market, how long does it last? How deep are they? On average, you know? Well, I know, and I'm going to share that with you. And Twitter sell on hold. Did you hear? It's on hold now. Elon Musk wanted to do, you know, we'll talk about it. But he decided to put it on hold for a few days. But he did reassure everybody that he is going to buy it. But there's some things he wants checked out first. But you know what? It's interesting, he doesn't have the right to check them out now. I'll explain when we get to it. So, and there's no trivia question today, so that won't be happening. The market, Dow was up 466 points, which is about, that was near the high of the day. It wasn't all up today. It came, you know, the Dow went up, was strong, opened strong, got up to 400 or 500 points, and then fell, then came back. So it was up 466. The NASDAQ up 434, much stronger in a percentage basis. And the S&P up 94. So it's what we call a relief rally. Now the question is, can the relief rally last a few weeks, a few days, a few weeks, or is this it? And I can't answer that question. I can tell you we were oversold and we were due for a bounce, and I said that specifically on the show. That we're due for a bounce. And now I know Justin has been saying it also. Well, I'm not sure if he said it exactly that way, but I know that's what he's been expecting. So we got it today. Now let's see if it has what we call legs. You can keep doing it. So we're moving into a break. It is Friday, everybody. Okay? So I will share highlights from the news, KPP newsletter, because I do it every Friday. And that will be at the halfway point of the show. My phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey, guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've Learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. I make them into easier-to-understand elements. Each question is tackled live without pre-screening, and some topics are more challenging than others. And that's a good thing, because it allows every InvestTalk caller to shape the content of the podcast. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 Anytime Listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, this is Dan from Seattle. You guys manage my portfolio. I just wanted to say thanks. You're doing a great job with it. But I manage my niece and nephew's Roth IRAs, and I just had a quick question. I have them in the three-fund portfolio with three ETFs, SCHG, SCHV, and SCHA, which is large-cap growth, large-cap value, and small-cap stocks, or ETFs all through Schwab. And what we do is every month we go in and we buy whichever one is down the lowest. So we've been buying lots of value over the last 2 years, and now we're buying lots of growth. And I know you say growth will probably underperform, but with them having such long time horizons, they're both 20 years old, 18 and 20, is that a good strategy just to keep buying whichever one's dipping the most and not letting them get too unbalanced? But I just wanted to see what you thought of that three-fund portfolio and that strategy. Thank you.
Frankly, there's nothing wrong with it if it's a long-term outlook, because there's times when value outperforms, there's times when growth outperforms, and we've been dealing with growth outperforming for a number of years, and we feel, Justin and I feel, that it's values turn. But that doesn't mean growth doesn't work. It just means that value should perform better for a while. How long? We don't know. I mean, no one really knows these things, but I think a good spread that you have, and ETFs are spread out broadly into the sectors they're in, I see nothing wrong with you holding on to that. It will be fine. Okay? My focus point today is based on do you have to put 20% down buying a house? Well, the answer is no. But a down payment of less than 20% means you need to make additional payments for PMI. You know what PMI is? Private mortgage insurance payments. And they can be expensive. And it's every month, that premium. And it's not cheap. No, so just know that that's what that is. We'll talk about it a little bit more and during the show. But just, you can put down as little as 3%. Okay? But I'll tell you this, every time that a lot of banks start to do that kind of thing, they start to stretch to get lenders in to keep business going. Every time that happens, a few years down the road, they have huge defaults. Foreclosures begin to build. So you don't, you know, you want me, you, everybody, you need to keep an eye on out for that, because that generally also indicates a recession. Okay, so we got to keep an eye on what are the banks doing now, and are they planting the seeds now for problems down the road? The answer is no, they're not doing it now. But you can put as little as 3% down. Now remember, in 2005, 2006, you didn't have to put anything down. You didn't even have to have prove income. You didn't have to prove you had a job. You didn't have to do anything. Banks were crazy, because they were holding on to none of those loans, or as few as possible, and they were selling those loans on Wall Street, and Wall Street was selling it to you and me in the form of CDOs and collateral debt obligations and other things, telling us that they were solid because real estate backed them up, when in fact they weren't solid because they were lending money to just anybody. So, you know, be aware that there are problems if the banks get too easy with their lending. And that happens when, you know, there's a lot of competition, or they're just, you know, they need business and they're trying to drum it up. But just be careful with that. Okay? 888-99-CHART is my number, everybody. 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. You can call me anytime you want. What is the average length of a bear market? Do you know? Well, there was a study done, and the last 19 bear markets over 140 years, the average length is 289 days. 289 days. The average bear decline from a high, 37.3%. Okay? 37.3%. Are we in a bear market? That's the question. Now, NASDAQ is, but the overall market, if you count the S&P 500, is not. So it's just interesting. The S&P is down, what, 16.6% before today. The NASDAQ is down 27% before today. But there's another stat that I'll bring out. We're moving into a break, but I'm here and happy to take your financial investment questions. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Jacob. He's in the Bay Area. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I own Sprouts. I trimmed it back with a lot of my portfolio back in March, back around like when it was about $33. So I have about a third of my overall portfolio sitting in cash.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about picking up some more Sprouts now that it's pulled back. So I was wondering what you think about it.
Well, I like Sprouts a lot. Operates 374 stores in 23 states, offering natural and organic food items. I like it a lot because I shop there. But I also like because they're always pretty busy. You know, I like the consistency. And they're still growing. Their earnings went up 2% this year. They're going to go up 6% next year. Sales in the most recent quarter went up 4%. Notice the single-digit numbers. That is very typical of a food store. Food stores do not sell at high multiples. Never do. Their profit margins are usually pretty tight. The good thing about Sprouts, it doesn't have a lot of debt. Has some. Mutual funds are not buying or selling. They're just holding on to it. And they probably, with them doing that, does not help push the stock up higher. I don't think it has a lot of upside potential at $24.94 because it's sitting at about 11 or so PE and the range is 8 to 26. So it's not expensive, but it's not cheap as it's been either. And it doesn't grow very fast. So I'd probably wait and see if I get a bigger dip. If I got a dip below 20, I'd be a buyer. Okay? Jake, appreciate the call. That's Sprouts, and that's SFM is their symbol, Sprouts Farmers Market. Okay, on Fridays, I generally make time to do a quick rundown on key benchmark numbers, so let me do that if you don't mind. The two-year Treasury yield is at 2.61. And what was it a few weeks ago? 8 weeks ago, it was 1.9%. Okay, 20 weeks ago is 0.64. So obviously, it's gone up dramatically. Now, the 10-year Treasury, 2.92. So you're looking at a 0.31% difference between the 2-year and the 10-year. That's the spread. We don't want that to invert. It inverted already once, indicating we may be going into recession. But since then, it's stayed pretty steady. Okay, and so last week, it was 3.11. This week is 2.92. So it went down, therefore causing a little squeeze between the 2 and the 10. That's something we watch. Gold, $1,809 per ounce. Last week was $1,883. So it has come down a little bit, softened. Why? Because the dollar has gone up dramatically. Silver, 2103. 11 weeks ago, it was 23, so almost 24. So it's not moving. Gold's not moving. Remember, precious metals is a good hedge against stock market volatility. So, now, doesn't mean they will go up if the market goes down. Not necessarily, but they don't follow the direction of the market generally. They go their own way. So that makes it a good hedge. And, of course, oil, $110 a barrel. Pretty steep. Okay, just so you know, 21 weeks ago, it was $66.62 a barrel. Now it's $110. National average for a gallon of regular gasoline, $4.43. About 11 weeks ago, it was $3.50. So, you know. And, of course, here in California, it's above $6 no matter where you go. The average is $5.87. But down here in Southern California, you're going to find most of the time it's around $6 at this point. Okay, $6 a gallon. For comparison, in Georgia, I guess a gallon of gasoline is $3.95. $2 a gallon cheaper. A little more than $2 a gallon cheaper than here in California. Okay, let's go to InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question from a listener in Arizona. 888-99-CHART.
Hi there, my name is Eric, calling from Phoenix area. I just had a question about Southern Copper, SCCO. I just noticed the other day that they raised their dividend to $1.25 a share. And before it was a dollar, and it was 90% payout ratio, and now it's above 100%. So I was just wondering what the point of that was, what the thought process is, or why would they make their dividend higher than their earnings. So, yeah, I just wanted to get your information about that and see what you thought. All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's always a little disconcerting to me when the payout ratio, what we're talking about is they're paying out more in a dividend than they're earning. They're going to earn $4.25 this year, and they're paying a dollar something a quarter. That's almost all their earnings. That's disconcerning. Next year, they're going to make $3.99. That tells me they can't maintain that dividend. That's what that tells me. Southern Copper had a bad day, bad week. It peaked a few weeks ago at near 80, and today it's at 55. So it's come off. Sales have slowed down also. Sales growth has slowed down, I should say. Still growing. But last quarter was only 9%. Before, it was always in the double digits for almost year and a half every quarter. We're moving into a break coming up on a few minutes. So the latest KBB premium newsletter, I will talk about it before too long. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART. When you operate a small business, but you're stuck using a big business solution for your banking, you can deal with it, but you can sense the constraints. However, if you could have things your way, your dream wish would be to have a business checking solution built just for you. And now you can. Introducing Novo Business Checking. Novo is powerfully simple business checking. And unlike the tired traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized for your business to save you time and free up cash flow. With seamless integration to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. When you sign up for free with Novo, you join a community of over 150,000 fearless small business owners who benefit from a unique, customizable business checking solution. Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/investtalk. Go to novo.co/investtalk to sign up for free. Novo Platform, Inc. is a fintech, not a bank, banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, F.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Friday. The weekend is here, or almost here for most people. The markets have been more than interesting, and you want and need unbiased investing guidance. You're in luck. Steve Peasley is here, ready with answers, and he's waiting for your questions. Call Steve 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Brandon from Oklahoma, and I just kind of had a general question about, you know, how the stock market grows, you know, because right now, obviously, it's kind of going down, bear market for NASDAQ, and, you know, could possibly enter that for S&P and Dow. And, you know, people say, you know, the stock market has an upward trajectory throughout the years, which has been proven true, but how does it keep growing? You know, people are saying, you know, by 2035, the Dow will be, you know, 100,000 points, whereas right now it's in the 30s. How does the valuations just keep growing and growing and growing? And then obviously you have people that say, well, it can't grow forever. I'm just curious, is it just people spend more money, people buy more products, there's more people with more money, and so people, you know, that drives stocks up? Just, I'm kind of curious how the overall market as a whole continues to grow. And obviously, just keep investing to grow your money over a long period of time. Thank you very much.
That's actually a pretty good question. And there's different dynamics that drive the growth of the stock market. First of all, you got new stocks coming aboard on all the time, IPOs, initial public offerings. At the same time, you have stocks being bought by other companies or taken private all the time, too. A good example for that will be Facebook when Elon Musk takes it private. It will no longer be a stock on the exchange. But another way, remember, you got to remember, earnings grow every year. Companies grow their earnings. That's their focus. So if earnings grow every year, technically the stock price should go up every year, even though that's not true. But you also have companies who constantly buy their stocks out of the open market. They take, so the shares trading in the float are going down, which drives earnings per share up. Stocks go up when earnings go up. That's the overall background rule you should understand. So how do stocks go up when earnings go up? Well, that's you and me. We drive the price up. We decide. And sometimes we'll value a dollar's worth of earnings at a PE of maybe 15, and other times we may value that same dollar at a PE of 30, because maybe the sales growth is going well. Got to remember, the stock market is dynamic. A healthy economic system, a free economic system, is dynamic, meaning companies go out of business, new companies take over. You should read the book Creative Destruction. Companies go out of business for reasons. They're destroyed, and then we create new companies. And this pushes, all these different things push prices and stocks up. Okay, it's more than just one thing. It's multiple things. Good question. Okay, as you know, KPP Premium Newsletter, I finished it this morning. It will go out to subscribers tomorrow morning. You know why we do that? Because we have to have some proofreading done. And it takes, you know, takes a couple hours. We try to get it out by Friday afternoon, but it's just a lot of pressure. And we don't want to put out a product that has problems with it. So we've decided to try to take more time. Anyways, in the market condition section, there's four sections to the premium newsletter, okay? Four sections. The first one is called the market condition section. And I stated, for the broader market, we have now entered bear market territory. Of course, today kind of destroyed that. Are we in bear market territory? Well, we are in the NASDAQ. It's down 27%. And anything down 20%. If the market's down 20%, you're bear market. But the S&P is only down 17 as of yesterday. So, and then I mentioned that, by the way. I said the S&P has fallen 17% so far from its high. A bear market is defined as 20%. I say that in the newsletter. Okay? I think some historical reference is in order here. There have been 19 bear markets in the last 140 years. I just mentioned that as a talking point today. So I mentioned that in the newsletter because not everybody's listening to me on the podcast. So, you know, we've had bear markets that are much, you know, the average drawdown average is 37%. But, you know, the 2008 drawdown was 50%. Remember, 37.3 is the average. In the Great Depression, it was like 80, 90%. So, you know, you can only, you know, give you the average. But just remember, anything below, from a top to a bottom, which we don't know if we hit the bottom yet, you have to at least gone down 20% to qualify as a bear market. If it's not a bear market, those are just corrections. Corrections in a bull market, in fact. Okay? So, just to give you some context, that's what I was trying to do in the newsletter. The current malaise in the market is being caused by the Fed. It has stated that it will keep raising rates for a while until it sees that inflation is under control. For investors, that realization is very hard to digest. They want certainty. They would like to know how much, how often, how long is the Fed going to do this? Keep raising rates. So remember, when they raise rates, they're removing liquidity out of the market. When they're letting their balance sheet run off, they're removing liquidity out of the market. Removing liquidity means there's less economic activity, thus a slowdown in the GDP numbers. Now, how slow is slow? When will they slow down too much? That happens quite often. The portfolio management section, I asked this question. Buying stocks in a bear market is always difficult, but under the right circumstances, it could be the most profitable trade you can make. The stock market is the only marketplace where things go on sale and no one wants to buy them. But when items are overpriced, people flock to them. Doesn't make sense to me, but that's what happens. People right now trying to avoid the market, you know, because it's going down. Well, it does go down. How far down, we don't know. But trying to time it is impossible. So we're currently in a difficult time, but it is a period when you should at least develop a buy list. You should look for potential acquisitions. What characteristics should you look for when you're looking for potential acquisitions in a bear market? Okay, remember, in this time is probably not a time to speculate. You know, it's not a time to take high risk. So look for companies with low or no debt. That will exclude most high growth companies. They will exclude a lot. Stay away from them. No one can foresee precisely when the stock market will hit bottom. Always buy companies that make money. That's the one. No one knows where the bottom is, but always buy companies that make money. Okay, and the stock ideas, a couple ideas in there. I put two ideas in there each time. I mentioned a gold ETF in there, I mentioned TIPS, Treasury inflation protected bonds. So, of course, I will give you the symbols when you get the newsletter. It's not hard to find. Okay, and there's a good deal of valuable information in the KPP newsletter. When you subscribe at investtalk.com, you'll receive the newsletter each Saturday morning via your inbox. You subscribe at investtalk.com. That's two T's. investtalk.com. Okay, also, and there's another way to look at a bear market. You know, I always tell you, look at a bear market. You define it by going down more than 20% from the top. But there's other ways to look at it when you're in a bear market. For instance, you can look at it. What percentage of stocks are under their 200-day moving average? Why do I use 200-day? Because that's a long-term moving average. So if the stock price is below that, it's below its long-term average. And how many are below that long-term average gives you a hint as to how bad the market is. And the worse it is, the more likely it's going to change back up. There will be a change back up. So it's all an effort to know how far down are we? Are we down far enough? And when there's a single digits, 8-9%, of stocks above the 200-day moving average and the rest are below the 200-day average, you know that we're in a pretty bad bear market. So how many are above it now? About 16%. That's pretty low, just to let you know. That's pretty low. You know, the market's been obviously worse than that But if it gets down below single digits, you're probably looking at a bottom of the market. Now, try to find some of this information. It's difficult to find. You know, it's not published every day somewhere. You have to buy this information. People sell it. Okay. Justin and I are glad to have your live phone calls, but we also enjoy hearing the questions that come in on Anytime Listener Line number 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, Steve. This is Mike from Florida. I'm calling because I'm interested in moving some of my investments into dividends so that I can start having a monthly income. And I was looking at some REITs and some BDCs. The BDCs interest me a little bit more because I feel like real estate might slow down with the rising interest rates and the slowing the economy and less likely to move real estate. But as people are looking to get their corporations or small businesses off the ground, these BDCs are interesting me, like the Gladstone Corporation, which has ticker symbol GAIN and GLAD. I wanted to get your thoughts on these BDCs and if they're a decent investment or not. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, GLD, is that what he said? GLAD, GLAD. So let's take a look at that. That's Gladstone Capital Corporation. Okay, he's talking about business loans. Okay, business development company investing in debt securities for private businesses substantially owned by funds. Okay, and they pay, this is when Gladstone pays a 7% dividend. These things are look very good in a healthy market, but they also suffer when interest rates start to rise because they buy money to lend money out. So their costs go up in a rising interest rate environment, which puts pressure downward on the profits. Okay, so just be aware that these things have looked really good in the past, but you can't buy looking in the past. You're looking through the windshield, look forward. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. They're not. But this one, Gladstone, is a very tiny, $396 million. I wouldn't take my chances. Made money. It's always made money. It's always made about 80 in mid-80s, 85 cents a share. Next year it's going to make 87. This year it's made 93. Last year it made 79 cents a share. And, you know, they pay a lot of that out in the form of a dividend. Their dividend yield is 7%. So just be aware that, you know, you're not going to get much capital appreciation. You will get dividends, but the dividends, I would check the history of the dividends over the last 10, 15 years to see how secure it is. I don't know if it's even been around that long. I doubt it. Okay, let's go to Richard in the Bay Area. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call again. I appreciate all of your answers. I had a question about small cap companies in terms of their response to a bear market. I know they start a bear market, like they typically go down first and then the large cap value follow them. But out of a bear market, how does it go? Does it go the same way, like large cap, then small cap?
You mean in a bull market or when it turns or in when it turns up, you mean?
Yeah, when it turns around. Yeah, when it turns up. When we are recovering from a bear market.
They will recover much faster. Small cap growth stocks will recover much faster. They go down fast and deep, and they recover fast. Okay, so don't think that it's all a bad deal. It's just can you stomach the volatility? Because, you know, they could lose 50, 80% of their value. Right? I mean, that's not uncommon. And, you know, back in 2008, they went down more than 50%. The overall market went down 50%. They went down farther than that, especially the small cap growth. And they also have trouble when interest rates are rising. That, you know, that we're in a rising interest rate environment. They don't like that at all because they use borrowed money to help grow their company. And that's a general statement. Okay, so just be aware, yeah, they'll bounce up fast. They will once the bottom is put in, wherever that is. Once it's perceived that the Fed is slowing or stopping raising rates, once they perceive that the damage to the economy is complete, there's no more damage done to the economy because of the Fed, then they'll start turning around. And just so you know, everybody, the stock market will move up before you see the evidence of the economy moving up. If we go into recession, and just the reason why I'm talking recession, we already have the first quarter we shrank 1.4%. The GDP shrank 1.4% because of the high inflation. That reduces the nominal number, right? So next quarter, we're still dealing with a high inflation. So we still, that could be the second quarter in a row where the GDP shrank. We're in a recession. That's the definition. Now, it might not be very painful because we have lots of jobs, but we're still in a recession. Thank you for the call. I appreciate the question. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom, and our work continues after this break. Get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced? Or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
Hello, InvestTalk. I have a question about Consolidated Edison, ticker symbol ED. I bought this stock recently, and now I'm considering whether to keep it or perhaps sell half a portion. My question concerns the cash flow of the company. As far as I can see, it has negative cash flow. What I really like about the company, though, is it's a dividend aristocrat. It has steadily grown its dividend over the years. And I also think utilities is a really great section to be invested in now. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, he referred to Con Edison, symbol ED, as a dividend aristocrat. And that's a term published by a book called Dividend Achievers. And it's a very good book. If you're looking for dividend-paying stocks, it's a really good book because it lists, all it does is list companies that pay dividends and their histories of paying dividends. And so Con Edison, like most utilities, are very good at paying dividends over a long period of time. Their dividend yield is 3.3%. They're never going to get much growth out of it, even though they've grown recently in the low single digits. I mean, the high single digits. You know, but, you know, for instance, this year they're going to make $4.50 a share. They haven't made that much money since 2015. But they've only made around $4 or higher, between $4 and $4.50. Next year it's supposed to be $4.83, and that's a peak. We haven't seen that in a long, long time. So that's very steady, these utilities. That's their best characteristic, steady. And they pay a dividend. And they increase their dividends over time. So I have positive cash flow, not negative cash flow out of this company. I'm not sure where you're getting that. Return on equity is pretty low at 8%, but most utilities are pretty low. And most utilities do have debt. This one does too. Con Edison is a very solid company. You want to buy it. The best time to buy any utility is when it hits its long-term lows, because they trade in a range, long-term ranges. And for Con Edison, that low is probably around $65, $70, somewhere in that range. But it's a good, solid company. It really is. Twitter. EMS said that he wants to hold off, and he still wants to make the deal to buy Twitter, but remember, he's trying to take it private. And why does he want to hold off? Because of all the what do they call those fake accounts? He's worried about that. Usually, fake accounts come in about 5% of the total participation of the people. These are computer-driven accounts and not real people. So he's concerned about that. Problem is, he waived his right to due diligence. He waived that right. He doesn't have that right to do due diligence at this point. He waived it because usually there's a due diligence period. So I'm not sure if he can do what he wants to do. So I'm thinking he's looking for a discount. This is not unusual that you have a deal and then you don't have a deal. Something comes up that makes the buyer say, well, gee, maybe I shouldn't be paying so much money per share. Maybe I should be paying 10% less than that. Now, when this came out, Twitter went down 20%. I think it ended up the day only down, well, I didn't see it at the very end of the day, but maybe down about 10%. So maybe it's a negotiating tactic. I wouldn't be surprised if that isn't the case. But he does still want to do the deal. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. I'm pretty sure he's going to be buying Twitter. He's committed a lot of money. And, you know, if he backed out, he's going to have to pay huge money in forfeits. Maybe he doesn't care because he's got the money. I'm not sure. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about us. It's a free podcast. It's free. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and or Spotify. And, of course, if you do download us on iTunes, please rate us. We would love a rating. It helps our profile, and you can say all the negative things you want if you want to. We appreciate it. A positive rating, but, you know, it's your freedom. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.